Bible's Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 8 and then we'll come back to it. First part of Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, a verse that I think is very familiar, especially with a Sunday night crowd. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." In that first part, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart." Americans are known kind of around the world, at least we used to be known around the world as a can-do people. They're quick to size up any situation, see what they can do about it. When Muslim terrorists hijacked United Airlines flight number 93 on September 11th, 2001, the passengers submitted because experts had told them not to resist, and they had been told that the hijackers just wanted to make a statement and then all would be released. But as the passengers on flight number 93 huddled in the rear of the plane and through the technology of airphones and different things like that, they were hearing reports. Because it was a little bit later, the one operator, her name was Lisa Jefferson, was talking to one of the men on the plane and started letting them know that the World Trade Centers had gone down, that there was an explosion at the Pentagon. And so the natural American, "let's do something about this" attitude, overrode their intimidation. Within minutes, a plan was devised to attack the terrorist. Despite some erroneous reports, none of these men that were involved in the plan entertained any hope of retaking control or landing the plane. They simply were going to thwart the plan of the evil men on board, even if it cost them their own lives. Lisa Jefferson, as I mentioned, was the airphone operator. She was talking with a man named Todd Beamer, and you can listen to the book entitled by his wife, I think it was Lisa Beamer, that wrote a book called Let's Roll. And so here was this Lisa Jefferson, the operator, talking with Todd Beamer during most of this planning. And she heard him say to the other guys, "Are you ready? Okay, let's roll." And the rest is history. That plane, one plane, they don't know exactly where it was headed. But I know my family, many years ago, out in the middle of Pennsylvania, there's a site you can stop in and you can see where that plane was taken down. More than likely, that wasn't the intended plan, all right, to take out some trees. All right, I don't think that that's what they wanted to do. But because of that purpose of heart that these men had, it demanded some courage. And sometimes it demands some extreme position to defeat an enemy. You know, we have true heroic stories in modern time, but Daniel is a heroic story of taking on impossible odds with purpose of heart in Old Testament times. Here we see in this passage in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." C.H. Spurgeon tells a story of a class of boys who were having a scripture lesson on Daniel. And one of the boys was asked to read some verse aloud, and presently he came to a verse 3 in chapter 6, which reads, "Because an excellent spirit was in him." But by mistake, the young boy rendered it, "Because an excellent spine was in him." It was undoubtedly a bad reading, okay? But it was pretty good theology there. Daniel had a backbone. He had purpose of heart, and it developed into a strong backbone. And I would venture to say that it is something today that is very necessary in Christian circles. It seems like if we would have some doctors come in, I would venture to say, and this goes from the pew all the way to the pulpit, I think that if we could get spiritual doctors to come in and take x-ray, I would venture to say that half of the churches in America would find a spineless pew sitter and a spineless pulpit filler. Right, because it seems as though there are so many today that do not have purpose of heart when it comes to God. They have purpose of heart when it comes to the world. They have purpose of heart when it comes to their carnality. They have purpose of heart when it comes to some of the civil rights, which is a phone and a computer. But when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to church attendance, when it comes to soul winning or witnessing, hey, the backbone's gone. There's no purpose of heart. We live in an increasingly crude world. Just take just that example. Cursing, for example. One study found that cursing in books and movies have exploded over the last 50 years. I've lived through much of this explosion. And I can remember, those of you that can remember years ago, some Christian companies would come out with special boxes that you could buy, and it would through the closed captioning that was in the movies, it could blot out certain words. All right, but guess what? You can't blot out really anything anymore. It's almost impossible. Over and over in our society, and even in texting or in social media, it's vile the way people talk. Sometimes you just walking through a store and you hear, it's not just young people anymore. It's older folks, and you're walking down and they're just talking about a box of cereal. And like, you know what? Say sorry to the box of cereal. All right. I don't think it deserves language like that. But it's just so natural for people to just puke out some vile language. And I think we just accept it. We just say, hey, you know what, that's the way it is. And we lose purpose of heart. Why did these young men in this passage here in Daniel chapter 1, you'll notice that it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And notice in verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed me, appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. So he was brought into favor, and so here the guy that was in charge, which happens, I'm sure it was a Babylonian. All right, so here's this Babylonian that is in charge of making him strong and making him much better. And Daniel comes to him and says, hey, I don't want to do this. And the man says, come on, man, you're going to get me killed. So guess what Daniel does? Verse 11, then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So basically, it's just vegetables, water and vegetables. He said, prove me. I don't want to get you killed, man. All right, and you think about this. Here's a Babylonian guy who's been taken from his home. You know, most of us would be like, tough luck, lose your head, dude. You just took me out of my house. I don't care about it. But hey, he was like, no, hey, prove me. Give me 10 days. Let's see. So here we see Daniel, and I put it on the outline, just a little excerpt from John Gill. John Gill was a 19th century theologian. And so in the 1800s, he actually was C.H. Spurgeon's favorite commentator. And John Gill said this, though it might be food in itself lawful to be eaten, yet part of it being first offered to their idol, Bel, as was usual, and the whole blessed in his name, it would have been against Daniel's conscience and a defiling of that to eat of the things offered to or blessed in the name of that idol. In other words, all the foods Daniel and his friends had been asked to eat had been dedicated to a pagan god, had been sacrificed to honor him. And that was enough to make Daniel say, I'm not eating that. I think that's a good commentary as far as commenting on the passage. I believe that's a good assessment. There's different opinions, but I believe that that's a very valid. Some people have said, well, it probably was unclean and clean. That there was some meats and other things that was okay to eat. But I can pretty much guarantee that all of it was dedicated to their pagan gods. And so Daniel was saying, you know what? I am not of Babylon. I'm not a part of this. I don't want any part of it. In fact, you'll notice that's what they were trying to do. Look at verse 6 and 7 in just above verse 8 where the purpose was there. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So that is their Jewish names. That's their Jewish names. But notice in verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names. And it gives those names. Daniel was renamed Belteshazzar. So what that means, all right, in the Babylonian world, that meant Bel's treasure. All right? His name was even renamed to honor a pagan god. The next one, Hananiah, was called Shadrach. The rack there, R-A-C-H, ending stood for the sun god. Mishael was called Meshach, the name of one of their gods. Azariah was called Abednego. He was, it meant a servant or a worship of Nego, another god of the Babylonians. So guess what this eunuch did? He took them and he was trying to change them. And this is what has happened at this time, and it's also happened today. You know what the devil's plan is and Babylon's plan? Babylon is a picture of the world. It's a picture of the enemy. And you know what Babylon wants to do? It wants to take us. It wants to take our young people. It wants to take our families. And it wants to change us. It wants to change our name. It wants to change our purpose. And what we need to have is a Daniel again. A Daniel, a heart of Daniel that purposes and said, no, I am not of Babylon. I am of Christ. And that's how I will stand. This evening, I just want to take a few minutes and I want to think about having purpose of heart. God help us. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at this passage, I pray that it would stir within us again to have purpose of heart. Lord, even as I was thinking about it, you dealt with me. And Lord, Daniel came up with a 10-day challenge. Lord, I pray that maybe in our hearts, in our lives, we'd be willing to prove God strong. And Lord, maybe we would set aside a 10-day challenge. Say, let's compare God and the world. Compare the difference. I believe we'd see a difference in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would deal with us. Make us better Christians, better people because of being here this evening. As always, Lord, I ask for you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, you'll notice, and it's kind of read into it, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. So go back in verse 1, 2, and 3. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, so Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, comes down to Jerusalem, besieges it. And in verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels. He carried those. And then in verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Most believe that Daniel at this time and his friends were probably in their late teen years. That's what it seems to indicate. It's not that they're young kids, but they're in their late teen years. So what do we know about Daniel? We know that Daniel then was raised in a Jewish home. How do we know that? Because even some of the stands that he took. We see that in Daniel chapter 1 as far as purposing in his heart. And we also see it in Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, what do we find with Daniel? That he had a regimen of prayer. I don't think that just happened when he came to Babylon. I think it was started when he was in his home as a young man there in Jerusalem. And so my first point is your purpose will be established before the battle is fought. Your purpose will be established before the battle is fought. Now, let me give you a principle to burn in your head. Commitments are not made in the heat of the battle. They're made before the battle begins. And the reason that many young people and many older folks, all right, defile themselves sexually is not because, man, right when it happens, maybe in the backseat of a car or in the heat of the moment, when all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know what, this is wrong. No, the reason that you can have purpose of heart and you can stand up and you can be pure is because you decided a long time ago that I will be pure until I am married. That is how you determine that. Your purpose will be established before the battle is fought. The decision not to defile yourself with alcohol is not made in the middle of a party or sitting at the seat of a bar. It's not made when all your friends around you are drinking and you're saying, well, I don't know, I'm just going to stand up right now. No, it's made a long time ago when you study scripture and you find out that, hey, don't even look upon it. Alcohol and wine is a mocker. And you study it and you say, I will have nothing to do with it. The battle is fought, all right, as far as this preparedness way before you establish purpose of heart before the battle is fought. The decision not to defile yourself is not made once you have gotten with a group of people gossiping with friends and a piece of juicy gossip comes out and you're like, oh, I just got to keep myself from that. No, what happens is a lot earlier, your mouth is dedicated and your ears are dedicated to God. And you say, I'm not defiling myself with that. The decision not to defile yourself is not made while you surf the web and the pictures are already on your screen or in your mind. It's made long before that purpose of heart comes, and it helps you not to defile yourself. So what is the Bible instructing us? I think the Bible is instructing us as parents to make sure to help our young people establish a purpose of heart in their younger years. You don't know how much time you have, and you don't know what evil may fall the young people. So right now, while you have time, start establishing some purpose of heart. That's what you should be doing. And then all of us right now, when maybe we have the quietness of our homes, sit with the Word of God and understand that a battle is coming and the battle is going to rage, but I need to be prepared for the battle. I don't all of a sudden know how to use, I don't just walk out and all of a sudden a sword drops in my hand and I know how to wield it. And that's why some of you, when it comes to the battle, you're weak as Christian soldiers. There's no onward Christian soldier to you. You're backwards. You're running with your tail between your legs. There's no fight in you. You know why? Because you've never established a purpose of heart. Your purpose will be established before the battle was fought. But notice also, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And then notice in verse 12, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And all through this, what you see is that there was this purpose had a direction. And so that's my second point. Your purpose must be aimed in a biblical direction. What does purpose mean? A dictionary says it means that it's an end, it's an aim, it's a goal. As a verb, to purpose means to set as an end. So what was Daniel's goal? He had a purpose. What was that? What was the goal? It was to please God. And so your purpose must be aimed in a biblical direction. You cannot just say no. Remember Nancy Reagan in the 80s? She came up with a great thing, just say no. All right, I mean, there's all kinds of people that said no. Said no to all kinds of things. No to coming to church. No. Right? But it needs to have a direction there. Right? She was talking about drugs. But guess what? If you're saying no to something, say yes to something. And that means if I'm saying no to Satan, I'm saying yes to God. Some of you, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. But you yet have said yes to God. So you're in limbo. Notice where our resolve should be. Notice, but Daniel purpose, our resolve, our direction starts in the heart. Where our resolve should be is the heart. This resolve must be made from the heart if it will last. It cannot just be vain words. That's now by vain, that we mean empty. It can't be empty words. It needs to sink deep. And God can seep, he can sink a deep resolve in your heart. Have purpose. Sink it in your heart. Notice who the resolve is to. It's to the Lord. So my resolve is in the heart, but it's directed. My goal is to the Lord. It has a direction. We see this attested to later in Daniel's life. Look at Daniel chapter 6. I believe that you know this is true, but I can prove it biblically that Daniel had purpose of heart. It was deep set in his heart, but it was directed to God. How do I know that? Daniel 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents of whom Daniel was, guess what? First. That the princes might give account unto them and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now I pause there because it says an excellent spirit, and that came because of chapter 1. That came because of chapter 1. And I would venture to say that there are many young people, there are many young adults, there's young couples, there's older folks, and an excellent spirit isn't in you because you've never experienced Daniel 1:8. You've said no to some things, but you've stopped because you haven't said yes to God. And yes to God means it's in my heart, it's directed to Him, and that's my purpose, that's my aim. It doesn't matter if I'm a newspaper salesman. It doesn't matter if I'm an insurance salesman. It doesn't matter if I'm a car salesman. It doesn't matter if I'm a mill worker. It doesn't matter if I'm a truck driver. It doesn't matter what my vocation is. First and foremost, my purpose is God. That's what it has to be. First and foremost, because I am not of Babylon. And if you're a Christian, you are not of Babylon. And Daniel understood that. And some of you have not figured out that you're not of this world. You've been called out, set apart. You're sanctified now. You're God's. You're His. Daniel understood that. And you notice here, Daniel was preferred, the excellent spirit was there. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Unbelievable. But they could find none. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Even the enemy knew his purpose. The enemy knew that Daniel will not cross God. And what's sad is, for us sitting here, does the enemy know that about you? Or do you have to go and hang your head and say, oh, I'm sorry, guys, I slipped up again. Oh, I'm sorry, guys, man, that language. Oh, I'm sorry, guys, that music. Oh, I'm sorry, guys, that web surfing. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. They knew. It only is going to be against his God. And that was in a positive thing, just so you know. because these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And so they make a law of the Medes and the Persians. And what, guess what the law is? There's only one God. It's King Darius. But guess what? He signed it in verse 9:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. It's almost like he was like, oh yeah? Is that the way it is? Because guess what Daniel had? Purpose of heart. And his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. All right? And I don't know if they always were. I wonder if he just, like, forget it. They're open now. And so notice what he did. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Your purpose must be aimed in a biblical direction. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world does. At some point, your resolve needs to be sunk deep in your heart, and your resolve needs to be towards the Lord. The pressure, you would say, man, it's too great. You say, I can't make it. The temptation is strong. Well, with God as our foundation and our rock, your purpose then can be founded on solid ground. It can be, according to this passage. You know, Jonathan Edwards, the great minister and educator, when he was 18, says, if there could be one man in the world at one time who was pleasing to God, I would want to be that man. And guess what? Within about a decade, Jonathan Edwards became probably one of the most influential preachers and theologians of the day. Because he said, you know what? I'm going to have purpose of heart. Spurgeon decided when he was in his late teens to become a preacher. Time did not change his decision. His sermons, both spoken and translated, are in multiple languages. It's reached the entire Christian world. Why? Because a man, a teenager, said, this is my purpose, and I'm not going to be knocked off this purpose. Have purpose of heart. Then notice in our text in chapter 1, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Look at verse 12 then. So all of the situation goes, the eunuch says, hey, wait a minute. You're going to get me killed. And so in verse 12, what does Daniel say? Prove thy servants. Don't be afraid. Your purpose... Don't be afraid to have your purpose challenged by the world, or don't be afraid to line it up. I love the guts of Daniel. I think some sitting here, you don't have the guts to do it. But Daniel was willing to say, I'll line up my life. Let's do this. It's on. 10 days. I'll eat this nasty food here. All right, because it sounds, I mean, pulse and water doesn't sound good, just so you know. It just doesn't sound, just the word pulse doesn't sound good. I don't know, it's just like, all right, that's what I'm thinking of the whole time, is like some heart contraption, whatever, mixed with veggies. And I mean, it just doesn't sound good, pulse and water. But he wasn't afraid to say, line up our lives and line up those guys over there. In 10 days, let's see what happens. History records this. In the day of Tiberius, so that's Roman Empire, it was thought a crime to carry a ring stamped with the image of Augustus into any place that was sordid, where it might be polluted. It was a crime. So anything that had his image on it, and you brought it into a place that it could get smudged, it could get defiled, they wouldn't allow it. You could get charged with a crime. Now guess what is stamped on you? The image of Christ. Guess what you are? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we drag the image of Christ. We drag the Holy Spirit into pollution all the time, into this world. And we don't think anything of it. It was a crime in in the Roman Empire to drag their Caesar, just an image of their Caesar, to where it could be polluted and defiled. And we as Christians maybe should get just a little bit of irritation, a little bit of backbone to say, my God will not be polluted. My life is an example and it's not going to be defiled. I won't step into that place. I won't go into that place. I won't look at those things. Why? Because I'm going to have purpose of heart. My challenge this evening, I put it on paper. I call it the spiritual commitment challenge. It's the 10-day challenge. I already started it because God dealt with me on it Friday night or Friday afternoon. And he said to me, Daniel said, prove me. And so I was like, all right, God, I'll prove you. 10 days. I'm gonna mark what I spend in prayer and Bible reading and memory work and witnessing and mark that out. And then I'm gonna mark out the other side, the world's influence of social media and whatever, music and all this other things. And then on the backside, I started jotting things down because I'm gonna compare it. I'm gonna say, so what is my spirit like now? And what was it like 10 days ago? What's my energy like? What's my peace and comfort like? Is it different? Because Daniel was willing to step up and say, give me 10 days. And you know what I'll show you, eunuch? I'll show you that my God's better. I'll show you that he is stronger and he's mightier. And I think if we had a nation, if we had Christians today that would step up and say, I have purpose, they wouldn't be shutting our churches down. They wouldn't be tearing up our Bible and ripping us to shreds across this nation. If we had some people that had purpose, they would say, no, give me 10 days. And I'll prove to you that my God's bigger. I'll prove to you that our God is stronger. I'll prove to you that he can do mightier things. But I wonder if we're willing. Because Daniel had to stick his neck out, didn't he? Prove me. Are you willing to take the challenge? The challenge is there before us. But you know, there's little things that I think come in and attack. And it's those little things that I think come in and dampen our purpose, dampen our spirit. Henry Stanley, if you don't know of Henry Stanley, he was the one who went and looked for David Livingstone when they thought that David Livingstone was lost. And Henry Stanley was commissioned to go find him. So Henry Stanley was making his way through the forest of darkest Africa. And the most formidable foes that he encountered were a tribe of men called the Wambuti tribe, and they were short little men. I don't know, like little men. That's what I'm going to say, all right? They were little guys, and it is said that their bows and arrows looked like children's toys. They would hide up in the trees, and they were little guys, and they had the little bows and arrows looked like little toys. But they figured something out. They would dip their arrows in a small drop of poison. And they say that their arrows could drop an elephant. And Henry Stanley said of all the things when he was going across Africa, it was these little men in the Wambuti tribe that just seemed to conquer him. And you know what you'll find? some of those little things. Some of those little things that seem so important. It seems so vital. But in comparison to this world, is it that vital? You know, the Babylonians were pretty smart. Look in the text here. It says in verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach, look at what it says, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And then you'll notice that also they were supposed to be given a portion of the king's meat and wine. You know what I see? I see that the Babylonians, they wanted to change their language. They wanted to change their literature. They wanted to change their lifestyle. And the purpose of Babylon hasn't stopped. It hasn't changed. They want to change our language. They want to change our literature. They want to change our lifestyle. And there was, according to this, I think in the text, it seems to indicate there were many children and young people taken. And yet we know four. Four that said their literature, their language, their lifestyle is not mine. I am not of Babylon. I will not be of Babylon. I am God's. And they purposed in their heart. All those other people, they might have said, oh, come on, Daniel, what are you doing? Come on, what? Come on, guys, what are you doing? You're going to get us in trouble. I said, eat it. Do it. Hey, eunuch, prove us. 10 days. Look at verse 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Now think about that. I don't think they had any idea of the questions and the quizzing and all that was going to come at them, but God helped them. You know what, as a church, maybe we should just gain purpose of heart. And the purpose of heart is that we're not of Babylon. We're not of this world. It's not gonna grab my heart. I'm not gonna have its language, its literature, its lifestyle. I'm through with that. I'm God's. And you know what you'll find? Be a Daniel. Say, prove it. Challenge. I think, and in fact, I didn't have time to look it up, but just this afternoon, that idea of proving, you know, it started rolling in my mind, because this ain't the only time that the Bible says, prove me. It's not the only time. God doesn't mind a challenge, because he's God. Oh, he'll whip anybody. He doesn't mind being the victor. So prove him. Take the challenge. Say, you know what, God? I'll set 10 days aside. And let me see what I can do for God. And then, yeah, there's some other things, but I'm gonna compare it. I know I am. I'm gonna compare the last 10 days. Because you know what? There are times that it's just a little anxious and the fear can come on. And there are times that it just seems like, man, my energy and the stress is there. And I'm going to say, God, I'm giving you this. Prove it. And you know what? I think God's going to show me up. He's going to show himself strong. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Maybe you're not seeing God work on your behalf because you've not learned to have a perfect, purposed heart towards God. Take some steps of boldness for God. Take a challenge. Compare the world's offer and then look at God's offer. I believe, as we see in Daniel chapter 1, that the results will be astounding. Because God likes to prove himself. Heads bowed, eyes closed this evening.